This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
I'm Ruby, and we are now joined by Max McLean, who has an older hand here at Joy for a few years ago with the program Well, 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 and who now is the Communications Director at Mind Australia. Now, Max, you've been very involved as well with the Mind Equality Centre, which opened up earlier this year.
That's right, yep.
So is this a centre that is particularly for the mental health and wellbeing for LGBTI people?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, it was opened in May, I think, this year, mm-hmm. And I'm getting ahead of myself there.
Well, it's
New Year's Eve, here we come. Yeah, it was opened early this year. I mean, Mind Australia, which is a national mental health and wellbeing organisation, really recognised a need for mental health and counselling services and support for the LGBTIQ community. And they launched that in May. And the demand has been, has certainly borne that out.
I was going to say, good timing. Good timing on that one, getting it open this year. So, what has that journey been like since May? Has it been as expected? Obviously, I guess back in May we were not expecting the last 3 months, the announcement we got in the beginning of August to have occurred. Yeah. So that obviously may have increased. Maybe a bit of more people coming through the door than there might have been otherwise.
Look, I won't be able to tell you too much about that. I'm fairly new to the organisation, but I can certainly tell you, there was through the whole postal survey, there was a definite increase in inquiries and people seeking support and counselling and wanting to talk through some issues and sort some things out. Yeah, it made quite an impact.
Yeah, and just tell us a little bit about the type of services, because one of the things you do is occupational therapy. I was trying to get my head around that.
I was trying to get my head around it just the other day, because I've been around for a while, and in my day occupational therapy was basket weaving and things like that, well, I think were around motor skills and so on. And I had a chat to the occupational therapist Lisa there yesterday, and I think it's occupation more around your daily activities and life skills. A lot of people can be challenged, for example, with anxiety and depression issues that make things like travelling on public transport, for example, difficult. Mm-hmm. So an occupational therapist can actually help you overcome or work through some of those issues.
Developing coping strategies.
Yeah. So I just need to remind everyone, I'm not a doctor. I'm actually a communications manager.
Absolutely.
At Mind, but I'm just reporting secondhand from my dealings with the counsellors there. But so there's occupational therapy, there's counselling for individuals, couples and families and other relationships as well. And so I'm in some of the opportunities there, you know, for example, if somebody's transitioning.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a challenge within yourself, but then, of course, there's broader challenges with how does your family deal with that? And, of course, Christmas is an absolutely, you know, is one of those times when that sort of stuff comes to a head.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
Mean, you know, what happens when you go home for Christmas for the first time? I mean, people may have known that you've started transitioning, family members.
Mm-hmm.
Most may be supportive, but, you know, there's maybe that one member who won't change the pronoun that they call you by. And a lot of these issues are really, really challenging. So,
absolutely.
Yep.
And particularly at a time where, you know, the LGBTIQ community had everybody discussing us and our community. So, you know, even families that are supportive will probably be bringing that up if they know that someone in their family happens, even if it's measures of support, which might be bringing back, you know, both Ian and I, having covered the whole thing over 3 months, found it at quite times very, very challenging.
Look, it's really interesting because I've spoken to so many people, you know, the whole experience of the postal survey and what's happened since is, you know, so many people say, I'm not a snowflake and I don't want to be weak, but, you know, as it's dragged on, it's really worn me out. And, you know, it's just one of those things we've had to keep going, and we need coping strategies for all of these things.
Absolutely. I think levels of anxiety and stress were elevated across the board from some of the preliminary research that's been coming out from surveys from that.
Look, for sure, but I think we all know from our own experience, it just went on and on. And
every day.
Every day. There was a new sort of little humiliation or insult to add to the pile, and you know, you just feel like there's no end in sight.
So Max, what do you think about the different approaches that we can take over this extra stressful next couple of weeks? So the holiday period, you were saying that, you know, one of the things is for some people, not for everyone, they'll be with family or with friends, and there might be some of those difficult situations. Any thoughts about how people can cope with that? Because, you know, people who are perhaps not usually stressed might be in a stressful situation over the next couple of weeks. What can they do?
Oh, look, as I said, I'm not a doctor.
Yeah.
But I spoke to members of our counselling staff at the Mind Equality Centre today, mm-hmm. and I got some great tips. And, I mean, I think, it's on a sliding scale. I mean, some of us absolutely just can't go to a family Christmas because the level of aggression, you know, maybe we've been thrown out of home. And, you know, if that's a clear-cut situation, then maybe you might be really resolved about that, or maybe you might be feeling really isolated. But just as difficult is, you know, maybe half of your family really accept you and you've got great relationships, but what if there's one or two that really get under your skin, or you know, you really have an issue with, or more to the point, have an issue with you, and you don't want to let your mum down, or you really love your mum or your dad or somebody, but it's really hard to be there. So look, some of the great tips. I mean, the first thing, I think the best advice any of the counsellors said to me is, look, don't expect too much of Christmas. A lot of people think, and it's the same as with New Year's Eve, you know, you think everyone else out there is having a fabulous time and that you've got to meet this level of personal satisfaction. So many people you speak to have a really shitty Christmas that's really stressful in all sorts of ways. So I think that's the first thing to do, is to really set your expectations.
Because we have that expectation. Yvonne was talking about that at the top of the show, sort of saying we relate it to what we were like as children, or what we remember sort of in that gilded version of what it was like as children.
Ah, nostalgia.
It's a lot of nostalgia, yes. And so if it doesn't meet that, we sort of feel somehow disappointed. So we're saying don't have too high expectations, and you might be surprised.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's the thing, you know, you've got constantly on TV ads and so on what the ideal Christmas is supposed to look like, and it is supposed to be traditionally a family occasion. But, you know, of course, maybe you find your own family to spend Christmas with and do it in a suitable way. But, you know, if you are going to Christmas and there is somebody who's going to get under your skin, be prepared. You know, have a think before and think, what are those things, you know, what are those things that turned into blazing rows last time, that turned into China being thrown across the room, you know? And, you know, what's that person going to say and get on my skin? What am I going to do when that comes up, you know? Am I going to ignore it? Is there something I'm going to say back that won't escalate into a pointless argument? Maybe I need to just go to the toilet and get a bit of quiet time.
Yep.
Take a few breaths and go back and just think, I don't need to go there.
Yeah.
You know? And just remember why I'm there. Maybe I'm there for my mum.
Yeah. You know? Maybe, and having people like you can call on the day if you are, you know, go to the toilet and just give a friend a call just to get some affirmation. Is that something that...
Absolutely. Yeah. Good idea. Hmm. Yeah.
And if people are struggling, not everyone will have, many people will not have a traditional biological family that they're going to hang out with over this period. Mm. Any thoughts for them and about, you know, connecting to the sort of things we heard in the previous two interviews, or just how people can look after themselves? Because some people may end up really having quite a hard time, and then where can they turn to?
Yeah, so how do we handle that kind of, if the social isolation that can come about when we, maybe, yeah, the family isn't an option?
Look, I really love that advice that, was it Ian? Sorry.
Richard?
Richard mentioned earlier, which was to actually sit down and take that time to write down an appreciation of those people that mean a lot to you.
Yeah.
And you know, the end of the year is a great time to thank people and of course, in the process of writing that, you're really reminding yourself that you've got some people there who really care about you and have really, really done some good things for you and made a positive impact. And I think it's the same thing, you know. I mean, sometimes there's not a lot of money around, and it's really great to, you know, it's it's so commercialized Christmas, and to really just cut through and actually, you know, even ring somebody or send them a note to just say thank you, you know, that's really what hopefully Christmas ought to be about.
We know how to use post boxes now, so we can mail letters.
Indeed, we've all learned how to put that letter in the slot, or email, or invite somebody around, cook them a home cooked meal. Why not?
Well, and often Christmases, I'm starting to see a lot of people post up even on Facebook in queer groups saying, oh, is anyone having one of these that I could go to, or I'm posting one? So there does seem to be one of the advantages of having a close-knit community is that it's easier to reach out, and people who might not know personally would still be happy to extend a bit of a companionship and food.
Yeah,
which is really, to me, what Christmas is all about.
Yeah. And look, another good suggestion from one of the councillors too is that, you know, you think, okay, I mean, it is a challenge because all of the usual structure of your life falls away over Christmas. You know, there's the working day or all of the rhythm, the normal rhythms of life get disrupted, and suddenly you've got this big expanse of time. If you are a bit isolated and alone, and suddenly you've got the day to fill. And I think it's really important to think, okay, where are the stress points going to be? And to really break up that time and think, right, what can I do? And plan ahead. Think, right, I'm going to go and see a movie on Tuesday. Look it up and know that you've got that coming up. And I think to take some time out in the day as well, which was another good suggestion, and to look after yourself, to stop and think, what can I do to look after myself today? And stop and think about the good things that you've achieved and what you're looking forward to doing in the future.
Absolutely. Now, I think a good mental health tip that one of my friends passed on was the Doctor Who special is always on Christmas, and that tends to be pretty lighthearted as far as without being too mistletoe-y.
But it's the last Peter Capaldi.
I know. No, it's great because there's a woman coming through and it's very exciting.
That's exciting too. But I am looking forward to that. Max?
I suppose it does sound like, in summary, so if you are with family and you might find some stresses, just really spend some time before you go to think about what those points might come up and to have some strategies in place for if they do / when they do. Mm. And if you're going to be by yourself, reach out to friends through phone or email, all those little red boxes that apparently send postage to somewhere now.
Yeah.
And also Boxing Day is when all the good movies come out. So maybe book yourself a ticket.
And look, you know, we've talked a lot through this whole thing about, you know, being alone being a bad thing. I mean, I'm one of a number of people. I have a very quiet Christmas and I just love it. I mean, you know, it's a great opportunity to rest, to catch up with yourself, to plan ahead. You know, it's not all bad. Maybe that's a great thing.
A bit of peace and quiet. I love that idea.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.